right, who are we interviewing? We're interviewing Marge Rule.
Yes.
Marge, where were you born and when and who?
I was Marjorie Doyle.
Doyle, D-O-Y.
L-E.
L-E.
And I was born in Canberra at Pierce's Creek near the Cotter River.
Right. And when? Can we ask you?
Yes, of course. 23rd of the 9th, 1941.
Okay. And the other person involved in this interview is Greg Rule. Greg?
That's me.
That's Greg. When were you born and where?
I was born at Harden.
Harden?
On the 7th of January, 21.
Okay. 1921. So, now you two are married?
Yes.
And you were married when?
On the 22nd of October 1976.
76. And when did you come to live in Hall?
Then, after that.
Straight away, yes.
We were married in the house.
Greg was already in Hall?
Oh, yeah.
Greg, yes. He had the farm down on the Gladstone Street, but then we built a new house in Loftus Street.
So, Greg had the farm...
Yeah,
on Gladstone Street.
Sunnyside.
And then married in 76?
Yes, in the house where we live.
In that very house. Yes. And what's the address of that house?
6 Loftus Street Hall.
6 Loftus. And you've been there since 1976?
Yes.
Oh, good on you, that's
we
lovely.
We go out occasionally, you know.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. All right, and children?
I've got 3 children, my previous marriage, and Greg and I don't have children.
Right, there's 3, and they're all grown up and gone away?
Yes, they're all living on the Gold Coast, and I've got 8 grandchildren.
So what's the names of your and ages of your children?
Ian, Rule, and he's 50, Andrew Weaver, and he's 48, and Matthew Weaver is 46. Grandchildren.
That's wonderful. And do you work?
I work for Meyer.
For Meyer. And have you done that for very long?
12 years.
12 years at Meyer?
Yes.
And before that?
Prior to that, I worked at Telstra.
Telstra?
And I took 000 calls, and I took the call when the Commissioner of Police was...
Yeah. Say it.
Yeah,
the Commissioner of Police was...
Well, she rang and she said the Commissioner's had a heart attack, and then she called me back a few minutes later and said the Commissioner's been shot.
What Commissioner was that?
Winchester.
Winchester, when he died of a heart attack.
Yeah, he didn't, he was shot.
Shot?
He was shot.
That's right, in the car in his driveway, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I worked 000 for all those years. Oh, well, I worked for Telstra and did a lot of other things, but I did work 000.
And where did you go to school, Marge?
I went to school at St Christopher's at Marnica.
Right.
And then after that, I did a shorthanded typing course and went to work at Foreign Affairs.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you remember anyone at Foreign Affairs in those days?
I worked for Sir Roden Cutler and Sir James Plimsoll. They were all there. And
Cutler,
diplomatic men, yeah, they were lovely. They were beautiful people.
Really?
And then I went worked for the American Embassy as well for a while.
Did you?
And yeah, until such times as my baby came along, Ian, and then...
What years was the American Embassy?
Ian was born in 62, so prior to maybe 60 till 62 at the American Embassy.
I didn't think married women were allowed to work in the public service in those days.
Well, this was the embassy then.
Yeah, but you said before that Foreign Affairs, didn't you?
Yeah, Foreign, and then I left there. I left Foreign Affairs.
Oh, okay, so you weren't married then. That's
no, wasn't
how that worked.
Oh,
okay,
no,
yep.
No. And then I worked in Braddon then for Adam Ingram and Son. And they had a hardware and plumbing shop.
Oh, okay.
And I answered the phone there in their premises, but it's not there any longer, of course, because it's gone.
Yeah.
And then I went to the American Embassy.
Very interesting background. Mm. And Marge, do you remember when you were younger, do you remember Hall? In days gone by?
Well, Hall was sort of a country village in the bush. We also had, my parents had a property called Montana at at Yass, it was.
Montana at Yass.
Yes. And Dad woodchopped. Dad was a woodchopper. So we always travelled a lot and past Hall and,
when the main street was the highway.
Yes. Oh,
even I remember that.
Yes, definitely. Mm. Yes.
And so how did you meet young Greg?
In this house where we are sitting, Brian and Anne, but they lived in Hackett at the time.
And Brian and Anne O'Connor.
Yeah.
And they had a house in Hackett in Selwyn Street, and then they bought this. But Anne told me she had a rich uncle, but I soon made him poor. And we met down here at the pavilion, and the music wasn't very good, and Anne and Brian left and myself and Coffee, and he said to me later on, well, if you'd have invited me, I'd have come along. So he must have liked the look of me straight away.
Oh, I see. And what year would that have been, do you remember? Back 60s?
Oh, it would 60s? Have been perhaps 69.
69?
Yes.
I don't rush into things.
No, mate, good thinking.
No, I had to ask him to marry me because he wouldn't ask.
Is that right? We cut that out of there.
Make some mistakes in your life, don't you?
Yeah. So when you met her, Greg, what were you doing in those days?
I was working, and I think I was still shearing. I'm not too sure.
Still a shearer.
Part of the house.
Yeah. Well, it was either that or very close to Palmerhead, but I'm not too sure which, but... My trade then was, well, prior to that, was shearing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also shorn between Queensland and Tasmania, a few spots in between.
Yeah, also.
And I gave it away in 19... I gave shearing away in 1963.
Mm.
And I came home, and there was an ad in the paper for an attendant in Parliament House. And I applied for it. Now, as a lot of people responded, and there's two of us, and I was one of the lucky ones, and I spent 21 years there. Saw quite a few prime ministers go through.
Like who, Greg? Name them.
Menzies.
Menzies?
Menzies was one. Who's the bloke that looked round?
Holt.
Then McEwen. I'm not real sure now. It was either might have been Gough Whitlam. There were six of them anyhow. And then Billy McMahon.
Billy McMahon.
Bob
Hawke.
Keating. And I left. My time ran out when.
Bob Hawke was still there, remember? We've got a lovely picture of you and Bob together.
He gave me a send-off, you know.
So you got a photo with Bob Hawke?
Yeah.
The first time as Prime Minister, they knew that they were very sad when I left them, you know. good man gone to the bush.
So you actually got to meet these Prime Ministers, you saw?
Oh, well, I didn't actually meet them, but I went for under them.
Under them, but you, saw them up close.
Oh, sure, yes.
Mm.
Oh, Malcolm Fraser was one.
Yeah, Malcolm.
I won't go any further than that.
And Greg, what did Hall look like in those days?
Oh, it wasn't as many people here then as they are today. And it's a funny thing, you know, in a small community, you had practically knew everybody, but now there's a lot of people in the village that you don't know.
And was the service station here then?
Yes, I forget, Peter, somebody, ran it, and he had himself, plus a man, and my brother-in-law came out here to work. I was saying to him, you should go out there and help him out sometimes. Anyhow, he did, he came out, and Peter offered Gus the garage, and when he took over, he had about six blokes working for him.
That was Brian O'Connor's dad, Gus.
Yeah, Gus
so
O'Connor.
The garage was where it is now, yes. Or down on the corner?
No, where it is now. It hasn't shifted.
Do you remember when it was on the corner?
It never was on the corner.
Yeah, there was one on the corner.
Oh, yeah, but not, yeah, but which one are you referring to?
I don't know, because that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, well, there was a temporary one down a bit further. plus a shop at the same time.
So it was temporary, the one on the corner.
Yeah.
But this one that's here now has always been...
The original.
The original.
And the old...
And Rochford owned it at one stage.
He did own it.
Ross Brown.
No, he did. Ross Brown didn't have the other. No, he bought it off. Oh, I can't... Jim, if Jim was here, he could tell you more about it, but... Yeah, Jim bought it off these people, and he bought it off prior gangs of war. He wasn't long had the job. They had the shop, and he was called up, and he spent time in the services. He told me that he had to borrow the money to buy the place. Then he went to the Air Force. And I don't know how many years he was there, but he came home and he scratched around a bit. And the original one was a little old slab place. You had to bend your head to get in it. Mm. And he built that new one, the garage that's there now. Yeah.
And Greg, do you got brothers or sisters?
I have four sisters and two brothers.
And they're still alive and living?
No, I've lost two girls. My eldest and the second eldest.
What were their names?
Jean and Mari. Jean Bush and Mari O'Connor.
And who we still got?
I got Lorna, Betty and Lorna.
And they live where?
Betty lives in Young, and my sister Lorna lives in Canberra. I got a brother living still as Young, and I got another brother, Keith, living down the coast.
Are you the eldest?
Eldest boy, yes.
Eldest boy, yes. But there's an older girl.
There were two older sisters.
Older sisters, yeah. And Marge, you got brothers and sisters?
Yes, I've got three sisters and one brother, younger.
Names?
Maureen, Therese, Judith and Lance.
All still alive?
All still alive.
And they live nearby?
They all live in Canberra.
Isn't that
everyone
wonderful?
Yes, great.
Good.
Yes.
Mm. On the old dunghill.
Can we stop for a minute, just for a minute? Just anyone like a cup of tea or coffee?
Yeah.
Yep.
Greg, I'm going to ask you about your shearing days. Did you ever hand shear?
Yes, I learned by the shears. My dad used to shear a few little backyard sheep, you know. Whilst he was shearing a sheep, I'd belly wool one for him, you see, and then he'd take over and I'd do another one. Yes, I did learn on the blades. I had a go on the machines after that, and I think I might have only shored one sheep at the time, but then I went away down Wagga working on... I worked in various places around Young, and then I went down to Wagga and worked in a dairy there for a number of years. And I came home and I leased an orchard, a cherry orchard, apple orchard. And I worked on it and pruned it and done everything, and I had a beautiful setting of fruit. And bless my soul, a bad southerly come up and blew nearly all of them off. But anyhow, that's part of life. Anyhow, it was a bit of a drought on. I had some sheep there and I sold them and I got out. And then I shore everywhere after that. I was into the game pretty well then.
Was that pretty hard on your back in those days?
Oh.
How you could keep doing it.
Yeah, well, it's not good at the present time either. They do wear out, you know, but they didn't have a sling like they've got today.
Mm.
And those things must be a wonderful help, because you've got three springs on, you can tension them to whatever balance you want them.
Yeah.
And it does save it back, because when you're leaning over a sheep at that angle all day,
yeah,
and they put a bit of weight on you as well, you know. Anyhow, I didn't have the sling. And I gave away the shearing in 1963, as I said.
And how much did you earn?
When I first went out to shear, it was £5 a hundred. And I think it was 60 cents a hundred for crutching.
Oh.
And when I gave away shearing in 1963, it was about £10 a hundred then.
Yeah.
But now it's about $260 a hundred or something.
Mm.
A vast difference. If I was getting that money when I was shearing, as they get today, I'd had a fairly good wallet.
Yes.
I could knock a few over, you know.
And Greg, did you work with a team or did you...
Yes, mainly, biggest part of the time was contractor.
Yeah. And big sheds? What was the biggest shed you were in?
I think it was in Queensland. I can't think of the name.
How many stands?
75 there was.
Gee, that is big.
Yeah.
And were you with a gun?
Pop gun.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I rang a few sheds.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was your best score?
200 and odd.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Not every day, of course.
Of course not. 200, eh? Jesus. Yeah. You know about it.
At least you have soft hands. Little
you do, yeah. Yeah.
Soft brain.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it too, of course. Yes, your hands get very, very soft.
Mm.
And of course, thistles. Mm. Oh, and we used to get... Yeah. Oh, they're bad. We used to get spear grass.
Mm.
And they had a little thing on the top of them like that. And on the end, they had a little feather seed, whatever it was. And I poked into you, and it was serrated, and you couldn't get it out. Dear God, your hands would be just absolutely brittle.
Mm.
And of course, I used to get big thistles in my legs or anything.
Yeah.
But by the holy hell, it's not an easy job.
I'll say.
But it's part of life. And, and the thing is, I always say is, shearing is piecework. And if there was more peace work done today, we'd have a better country, because you only got paid for what you did.
Yes, yes.
If you sat on your tail all day, you got nothing. If you went out and shore, well, you got paid for it.
Yeah, you learned to
that's right.
Appreciate it then.
Well, that's what I say. Had they had more peace work, the country would be a lot better off.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, you strike some tough sheep, by hell you do. And then, of course, you get some good ones.
I suppose they don't all take it lying down, do they?
they got a temper of their own, you know. Yeah. They lay the boot into you, something. I was shearing in a shed of six stands once. And my brother-in-law was shearing in front of me. And the sheep kicked the handpiece out of my hand and onto the belly of the sheep that he was shearing.
Ooh.
And cut him?
Kicked it right off the end of the tube. No, it didn't cut him, fortunately. Yeah. But, dear God, some of the accommodation were pretty rough, you know. You have to bath in a tub, and then you had to boil the water to get some water to have a shower with, and you had a bucket, and you pull it up in the ceiling, and had a little rose underneath. You turned it on, and you couldn't soak yourself up too much, because you wouldn't have enough water to get it off.
Yeah. And what, the farmers that owned the sheep had to supply all the accommodation?
Yes, they did, yes.
Especially food?
Yeah, supposedly only two to a room, but in some of those times out there, accommodation was pretty tight, and we used to only sometimes have three and four in one room.
Mm.
Too bad if you snored, Greg.
Yes, my brother-in-law, he was a cold man. He used to wake up in the night and say, "I'm cold!" And wake the whole place up.
I'm sure that helped.
And then he used to get a wool pack, bring it down to the ship, down to our accommodation, and he'd put his mattress in it and get in the bale with it. And by hell, you know, those wool packs are pretty good blanket, you know.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yes.
But all that, we had different means of things, of course.
And what about food? Good food?
Oh, yes, like always good food. We had one fellow that came and cooked for us. He came from Albury. I can't think of his name now. Wal Redmond was his name. And he'd been cooking in that one shed for 21 years.
Must have been good. They called him the Babblers, didn't they?
A Babbling Brook, yeah.
Babbling Brook, a cook.
And he used to have a, what's the big fireplace where you fill them up with wood?
Oh, the old fuel
stove. Like a camp oven?
No. Oh, it'd be from here to you long. And about
a fuel stove?
No. Brick oven.
Brick oven.
And they used to put a fire in it, and it'd be raging, you know. Roaring anyhow. They'd get up in the morning and they'd clean it out, take the ashes out and put your chops in there and your eggs in there. By the holy hell, they didn't take long to cook. The heat that they retain, you know, is surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
And the temperatures would be pretty high in summer anyway.
Oh, dear God, yes. When I shore in Queensland up there, you'd shear just with your pants, boots, and you had a little breastplate there where you put the sheep's feet, you see. And by morning tea time, or roughly about that time, you'd be wet to the knees with perspiration. And the water would be running down your arm just like you come out from the shower.
Yeah.
By the goes. And the sheep would nearly suffocate while you were shearing. Plus, their heat and your heat.
Yeah.
You put them down to shoot and they'd come to
you. So what time of the morning would you start to shear?
7:30.
So you're up for breakfast early?
Oh, you had to get up early and have breakfast and then get to the shed.
So 7:30, and when was your first break?
9:30. Every 2 hours
you what, had
5 minutes? Half an hour.
Half an hour every 2 hours.
And for lunch you had an hour.
And did you always have a cup of tea or a smoke or?
Oh, a cup of tea, yes. And then we used to shear then from 3:30 to 5:30. You know, 1 till 2 and then 2:30. We started, no. Anyhow, we had 2 hour breaks.
And that was 5 or 7 days a week?
5.
5.
Sometime early in the piece when I started this year, there were 5.5 days. Then they cut it out and I had 2 days off.
And Greg, you've always been a church man. Were you a church man in those days?
Oh yeah, but you didn't always have the means of getting in there, do you see?
So you'd miss church on Sundays?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. Well, the biggest part of the time you would, yeah.
Did you have a car?
Oh yes. I had an old single seater Buick.
A single seat of Buick?
Yeah, 28 model. it was solid, by hell it was.
Wish you still had it.
I did, God, yes. Yes. So I gave it to my brother and I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah. So that's how you got around the country in this old Buick?
Yeah. Oh, dear God.
And how would you know where you were going? You knew the next
year? Oh, you had a practically good idea, of course. You know, you knew other people and which way to go and which way not to go. Oh, we always found where we had to go.
So telephones, there were telephones then?
No.
No.
Oh, there'd be telephones in the homestead, but that's all. None of them is money you have in your pocket now.
So it'd be word of mouth. You'd say, we finish in 2 days, I'm going, and you'd tell others where you were going.
Oh, the team would all go together. In exceptions where there was working for a farmer or a cocky or something like that, of course, then you broke up, no doubt. Yeah.
The ringer, wasn't it? The boss? The ringer?
No, he was the boss. The ringer's the bloke to shore the most sheep for the shed.
Oh, I thought that was the gun.
Well, he had a gun too, a pop gun.
A gun or a ringer. So the boss of the team would decide where the team was going next.
Yeah, but he had it. If he had a contract, he had what they call a run, you see, and he go one shed.
A run with contracts.
And we've cut out, we've often shore over time to cut out a shed, then travel overnight and be ready to start in the shed the next morning.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen all the time, but it did happen.
They run off their own generators, didn't they?
No, they had petrol engines and diesel engines.
Yeah.
In Queensland we had a steam engine. And my brother-in-law, he cut a little bit of bag on the shaft above him, a little bit of, and it created a little bit of air.
That's smart.
Yeah, and they all put it on.
Good on you.
And the old steam engine couldn't handle it, take them off.
And so you do the season. How many would you shear a season, roughly?
Oh, I never ever counted.
Never counted?
But no. It'd
be quite a few, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
Thousands?
Yes. Oh, yes, my word.
And when the season was over, what did you do?
I worked around different places. But when I came to Canberra here, I used to drive Ross Brown's truck. We used to cart eggs from Young and all that sort of thing, and then we'd during the week we'd just circulate around the village, around the city.
So that was your off-season job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. We might go over to Marge and again. What do you reckon, Marge?
Good idea.
So you've had very interesting occupations as well. Is there any in particular you remember and you'd like to tell us about? Anything in particular?
No, they were all good jobs and good people to work with.
Yeah.
It was nice to have a change and have the variety of jobs and people you work with. You gave you a lot of experience. Mm.
You've always been with the church as well, haven't you?
Oh, yes, yes. We when I was born, we went to Yarra Yarra for Mass, but we didn't only have it once a month because that was right out in the bush too.
Once a month only.
Once a month only. And then we moved to Yarra Lumla, and then we could go to Mass quite often.
Do you remember the priests?
No. Father Cusack, wasn't it? Father Cusack was there first, yes, Father Cusack. And then my mother and father also had a farm, but out near the Mullion.
Where? The Mullion?
Near the Mullion, near Yass.
Near Yass.
Yes, so we had a farm as well. And what did but you I never saw a sheep.
You ran sheep?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sheep.
And you went to Catholic schools?
Went to Catholic school at Marnica. And was taught by the Good Samaritan nuns.
The nuns, yeah.
Yes, and they used to roll up their habit and play basketball with us. And they were very, very strict though. Extremely strict though. We had to do as we were told.
Mm. It was a good habit.
They were strict, all right. And we travelled, when I first started off at school from Pierce's Creek, we had to walk from Pierce's Creek to the Cotter River, which was a long way for a little child to walk. Mm. But then eventually we did get a panel van to come up and pick us up. Mm. And then we travelled in. And we used to travel up by Canberra Lane and around and pick up the Maguires, who owned Melrose, onto the cemetery, the Canberra Cemetery, and then come to school. Mr. Pike was our bus driver, Mr. Pike.
There wouldn't be many you'd on at the cemetery though, would there?
We'd pick up the girl, behave yourself, Lorna, behave yourself, Greg. No, there wouldn't be people at the cemetery getting on the bus, only one.
And you went to school, what age did you leave school?
15.
At 15, and that's when you went to your first job?
Yes.
Mm. And so your first job again was
at Foreign Affairs.
Foreign Affairs, straight from school to Foreign Affairs. Yes.
I did a shorthand typing course.
Amazing.
At the Technical College.
was quite a jump, Marge, wasn't it? Straight into Foreign Affairs.
Yeah, straight into Foreign Affairs. No, it was very good. They were really beautiful people to work with.
Mm. Yes. And were you married at the Hall Church or not?
The first time married, no, was married at St. Christopher's the first time, and then Greg and I were married in our house.
So, oh, that's right. Yes. You and Greg were married in the house there.
Yeah.
And do you remember the priest, who it was? Do you remember Greg?
We didn't have a priest because
you'd been married before
Bob, we couldn't be married in the church, you see. I tried to, that's why it took us so long to get married. I tried
to. I'd forgotten all that.
Yes.
And so you've been involved forever with the church.
Oh, gosh, yes. Ursula Murphy, she was up there one day scrubbing something. She said, well, you can take over here because I've had enough. So I've been very involved with it ever since. And we had a lovely 100-year celebration.
You did.
The church was 100, so that was... Yeah, it's lovely to be so involved in it.
And who was the woman who said you could take over?
Ursula Murphy, who lived up here in Victoria Street.
Did she?
Yes. Ursula and Mavis Caveney, who lived down Caveney's Road. They were pioneers of the district, weren't they, Greg?
Caveney.
And Murphy's were?
He wasn't, but she was.
She was a Hibberson.
Yeah. They had Glenwood down here, which had all been cut up now. You go down Church Lane to get there.
And I suppose she'd be doing the church service for years and years.
She would have been.
And when you arrived...
you can take over.
Yeah, take the mop, it's yours.
Take the mop and bucket and go with it.
And you've been doing it ever since.
Yes.
And you also run this lovely Christmas thing, haven't you? How long have you been doing that?
Oh, about 5 years.
5 years?
Yes.
That was a lovely idea. You thought...
It was just beautiful.
What made you think of that, Marge?
Well, I just thought there was little children in the community and coming to Mass, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we did have a Christmas party? So Greg had the old ute, and I thought if we can put the Santy on the back. But the trouble is the children said, I know who Santy is. So we had to give Greg away because they were saying who Santy was. But then we got other Santys, and it's still great, and it's lovely to have it. And they look forward, as soon as they see the old ute coming, and I've got a big school bell, they just get that excited. It's lovely.
Lovely. Yeah. So Mrs. Santa, you became Mrs. Santa.
I've been Mrs. Santa, yes. Yeah. I have the hat and the apron on. Got to do the work. I know the children probably better than the Santa does, you see.
Was there more children in those days when we had the school or not? No?
No. They've grown a little bit over the years. I think we had 40 children last Christmas. 40. Yes.
And that's all from this congregation?
Yes.
It's quite big, isn't it?
It is big. But that includes, you know, Spring Range Road and Murrum Bateman, you know,
we've had a few people. In the district.
We have a few coming. And even some of the grandparents, they bring their little children along too.
It's lovely. Mm. Okay, what are some of the big changes or changes have taken place since you've come to Hall?
All the extra houses, like when we first came here, there was an old, where the old people live on the corner, there was an old weatherboard home with a veranda on it, and that's gone. And
like, do you remember who lived there?
Well, Essel Colton used to live there. He had it at one stage, yes. Mm. Prior to that, between there and the shop, they built a new house there. Poor old Bob Stouffer lived in it for a few years. I don't know how long that was there, but they demolished it anyhow. Mm.
When did this rural centre open? Not the one on the corner in Gladstone, but the one in Victoria. Is that fairly new?
Yeah. Now, going back a long way, Norman Colton married Jim Rochford's sister, Zena, and he had a little shop there, and he used to sell sheep dips and this and that and salt licks and all that sort of thing. And it grew to a bit bigger and bigger and bigger. And he used to buy a lot of skins and things like that. And it changed hands and they built it a bit bigger. And of course, there's been a number of people who've gone through and I can't remember their names. But it built it up into a pretty good business.
Mm. So it's been there some time then.
Oh, yes. I was very disappointed when the present people pulled out.
Yes.
It left a vacancy in the street.
Yes. And the one on the Gladstone Street side, has that been there the same amount of time?
Originally that was behind the shop that's there now, and then they built that big one down there, yes. Mm.
But yeah. Did Ross run that, Ross Brown?
Yeah, he did for a while.
Run that in the first place?
Yeah, Ross used to run it behind the shop there, and of course then it went down where it is now, and Harvey took over.
Harvey Brown.
Yeah, and he was a good man, so was his father, all the family are really.
Chris Colton's got it now.
You would both remember the Bevis's business, wouldn't you? The trucks and the...
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
I drove.
Was that big?
Oh, yes, that was a big business. Canberra Carways. It's a bigger business now because they've even gone to Brisbane.
And so there was always a lot of vehicles here in the village.
Oh, not necessarily. They came and went. Mm. Yeah, they didn't actually unload them here. They didn't have the grounds for them.
Yeah.
Although they did have little backyards where they could deposit a few of them at times. Mm.
And do you remember the water being put on, or was that before you? The water and
soil? I can remember. Marge wasn't here then, yes. Now, Jim done that. Jim Rochford done all that work.
Did he?
My word, he did.
And Jim built the bridge as well, didn't he? Leading into the town?
I couldn't answer that. No, I wouldn't know.
But he definitely did the...
Memorial Grove. He was the instigator of the Memorial Grove down here.
But the water and sewerage stuff too?
He did the sewerage, yes. Yeah. And I think he also... he got the electricity and the water. Yeah. And he was instigating in something else. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. And do you remember the roads being sealed?
Around the streets we were, did.
Yeah, that was made quite a difference from people I've spoken to, because all the streets were gravel.
Oh. Yeah, and I, well, not only that, they'd go past and dust in and blow all over your house. You're forever last from getting the dust out of your gutters. Mm. And when they sealed it, matter of fact, before they sealed my house a little bit, I used to put the hose on to keep the dust down, but it didn't last long, it soon dried out.
So what years were the ceilings? Were it 60s or before that?
Oh,
60s to 50s?
I don't know.
We've probably got a record of that somewhere else.
Oh, it would be, yes.
Do you, you'd remember when this was the highway, would you?
Oh, yes. Mm. You used to roar through the street here. Yeah. Now, when I had Sunnyside down there, there was not many acres there. And I was working there. I had sheep down, I had cattle, and I had an orchard, and I used to have chooks and a nice garden. A chap came out and I was pruning the fruit trees, and he was there talking for a while, and he said, you know, he said, we're going to convert all this freehold land back into lease. And they did. Prior to that, after that, of course, they put the bypass in. Mm. And that's why they get all the land while it was... if they had bought it when it was freehold, you'd have to pay more money for it. So they did the switch, because they knew what they were doing.
They one step ahead, Greg, all the time.
Well, that's their business.
Isn't it? Do you remember the property across from the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
It's been marked on the map as Nova Scotia, but apparently that's not its name. Its name is...
No, you'd have to go...
There you go.
John Friend was the last man to live in the old cottage there.
Mm.
But Doherty owned it, did he? Who owned it before him?
Kilby.
Kilby, and they still... as far as I know, I don't know who owns it now. I couldn't answer that.
Doherty owns it now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. But if you want any particulars, you'd have to go back to West Kilby, because he could fill you in all that respect.
Yes. Yeah, well, I asked the question in the last Fringe, and I've got some good answers. So you'll read about them. Elizabeth Kilby came and saw me and set me straight.
Yeah.
She was not angry, but she wanted to clear.
Yeah.
So you'll find out the history of it in the next Fringe.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But it is important to get it right, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a shame the old place hasn't been looked after better. The man there now just feeds his horses. He's got jarb and stuff in there.
Yeah, that's Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew's only renting. Doherty still owns it, as far as I understand. John Starr says he remembers him when he came in the 1970, and that he was a butcher, and that he actually had stock. He was using the old house as a stockyard. So, anyway, Elizabeth Kilby didn't agree with that.
I can't recall that.
She said, no, there were never any pigs running around in there. So we'll see what emerges.
Mm.
But it was Doherty who named it Nova Scotia. And it isn't Nova Scotia.
No.
It's Eganoga Hill. Eganoga Hill, something like that.
Mm.
Yeah. All right.
Where the cottage is there now, or the house is there, it's got a beautiful view over the river.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
It is. What's the lady down at the shop, the winery down in Tomorrow Bay?
That wanted to buy it?
Yeah.
Lady Murray?
Yeah, Lady Murray wanted to buy it and he wouldn't sell.
What a shame. It would be nice. Someone
he said you'd come down there after Mass and have a cup of tea with me.
Yeah.
But it didn't offend you.
It's a lovely spot.
He wouldn't sell it.
Oh, beautiful. And that big water hole they got in there now.
Well, I'll stop you for a second.
To know they went over the bridge, and that bridge, that particular bridge was just next, almost near the tortoise.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you remember the show here?
Yes.
Let's turn this back on then.
Okay. Yep.
Greg, do you remember the show in Hall at all?
I certainly do. I used to put a few entries in down there, one thing or another, and I used to grow some beautiful peaches. They were called J.H. Hale, and I have picked them up to a pound in weight. I always put in two entries. I always got first and second, so I didn't do too bad, did I?
What years are we talking, Greg?
That'd be in the early 60s.
Early 60s.
Yeah.
The show goes back further than that, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. I just can't... I think I read something about it just recently, when it started.
Hall, yeah.
And then, of course, then it went from here, which is unfortunate, because I reckon that the setting here would have been absolutely magnificent. Mm. And with the big pipes they got today, they could have piped that creek and still had a beautiful setting. Mm. But they went to Sydney, into Canberra, and they had... all, well, not all, but majority of shiny pants and they're running the show, whereas here, they had all country people. Well, they designed it in there and they built it, and the trotting track was, for one thing, it was too small. And they couldn't have a trot. The horse, well, they trot their ride, but the horse couldn't go to his full speed because the gig that they were driving the horse around was like a disc cloud, was spurting the dirt out of the side. And not only did they do that, but they built a big mound. So you'd have to get on top of the mound to see what was going on. But they just demolished all that and they got what they've got today, which is very, very good. Yeah. But I still go back, they should never ever left here. Because it's out of town a bit and a beautiful setting. You can imagine all those trees there.
There's been an approach made to the Progress Association to have a 2-day harness event here, horse-drawn harness events. So we may see that come back, which...
I reckon they should have all the go it didn't get.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see.
Yeah. But they did have trots here too, you know. But
Greg, in the 60s when you were entering your exhibits,
yeah.
Can you remember what sort of events they would have had?
Oh, that something under the sun style today.
Yeah.
But they couldn't have big ones because it wasn't big enough, of course.
But they had horses and cattle and sheep.
Oh, yes. I remember a chappy here judging sheep and cattle there one day. And I was there watching them and he said, this beast is a nice beast, but it's got too much light under it. And I wondered what he was talking about. He was too lanky, he wasn't close enough to the ground. Yeah, and he used the word too much light under him.
Yeah.
But as you go through life, you learn a lot of things, don't you?
It's and certainly.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. What do you reckon, fellas? We can always do another one.
Of course you can.
We'll see how this one goes. What we'll do now is we'll get that